Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Look at us getting through the week, huh? How about that? Getting real tired of paying these gas prices, I'll tell you that much. I had to fill my wife's car up yesterday.
Try driving a truck, man.
There was a guy that came into the gas station. Yes, who's going to buy it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I was just lamenting to my wife.
It's the worst time to sell big trucks.
There's a Toyota dealership in Wilsonville near my house, and there are probably 50-plus trucks just sitting there.
Well,
just hanging out,
Up, right next to me, and I don't have, like, a big gas-guzzling car.
No.
Her car's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I got an EV, and I was debating if I'm going to keep that thing by September, and I'm looking at everything, and I'm like, nothing's going to change. I'm probably going to be keeping this thing and just keep plugging in. Man, this truck rolls right next to us, and I'm talking like 4-foot lifts.
Big truck.
Big old mud tires.
Yeah, you naked know, ladies on the flaps? Tell me there was naked ladies.
Boobies lady. On the flaps.
Some balls hanging from the tailgate.
Oh, dude, yeah. An American Eagle just
truck
like
we're
screaming.
Talking about,
like,
I've always wanted to get a pair of truck nuts. That'd be a good Christmas gift for me. File that one away.
No.
Buy me some truck nuts.
Actually, my
you asked your wife to do that.
My dad-in-law just bought a truck. Should I send him some truck nuts?
I think you should.
First
yeah.
truck in his life.
I think you should.
But I just looked at that truck and I'm like, dude, there's no way you're getting better than 9 per mile.
No,
no, like
or
7.
What is that? 9 miles per gallon. There's no way it's better than that.
I'm not going to pretend to know anything about
Good
it.
Good luck with that.
But the answer is probably no.
I had a guy aggressively pass me. I was going like probably almost 10 over the speed not long ago, and I had a guy in a huge truck. You know when they like hit the gas and the black smoke comes out? See, he does that. The black smoke comes out. He gets to the side of me, goes right past me, aggressively gets over, and I started laughing. And I go, keep burning the gas, dude. Have fun with that, Bill.
That diesel smell.
And then I got over casually to the middle lane.
I'm going to go hang out over here in the middle on the right lines.
Yeah,
it's a good place to live in, dude. I'm not going too fast. I'm not burning up this gas right now.
I just plug in.
That ain't happening.
That same thing happened to me, God, I think 2 months ago. And I'm only saying this because a cop was probably 1,000 feet ahead of us. And the guy cutting me off did not realize it. So we got to watch him get owned.
That is fantastic.
Very, very angrily pulling off to the Haines Street exit. And you can see how like he was like pulling off and very, very quickly breaking in the look on his face. I'm just like, oh, this is so satisfying.
Yes. Pull him over. Give him a ticket.
But happy Thursday. Want to remind you guys before we get it going here in the second hour, you can join us on June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes on sale now. You can choose between the morning or afternoon rounds. Hurry up and sign up. They do fill up fast. Join us on the infamous Angel Envy's Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole. We'll be hanging out. Danny and Patrick, Luke, Isaac, and Suk. Schultzy, will you be making an appearance out at this one this year?
Oh, we got to have Schultzy out there.
Yeah, I usually try to get out
I would
there,
like you to hit a tee shot.
We need tee shots from Schultzy this year.
I need redemption from Schultzy. I think you can do it.
All right, I can see if I... I won't be matching you guys, but I can definitely get it to the green.
I don't think I hit the green last year. I bounced off one of my shots.
Yeah, I only hit a couple. Meringue kind of commandeered it. So we got to power struggle this thing back.
Yeah, it's not like Meringue was lighting it up.
No.
You know what I mean, Schultzy? So you can get out there and
we need the listeners
shots.
Need some help here, okay? Yeah. They need some balls on greens. That's
what
we need.
2 years ago, it was you, Dirt, that was saying, like, Schultzy, get the hell off the tee. So now it's funny that you guys are asking me back, so I appreciate that.
He was having a hard time making contact.
I hadn't even shot yet.
Did you make contact, though?
Wait, he hadn't even swung and you told him to get the hell off?
I don't think those are my words.
Boy,
I don't
that.
Maybe not. Yeah, that was the tone.
People think I'm the douchebag on the show.
You're
stealing doctor's gloves and telling people to stop playing a sport.
Was I chiding you for trying to hit your tee shot?
I'm not going to say it. You were chiding me for trying to hit a tee shot.
If you join us out on June 23rd at Langdon Farms, for the Van Golf Classic, we'll feed you with Matt's Barbecue, which is delightful, best brisket in the world. Head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Van Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. The Van Golf Classic, presented by Toyota, is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Gal Mezcal, and Window Nation. We got Eric Collins at the bottom of the hour. Really excited to talk to Aaron Collins. In fact, I need to pull some audio as a rejoiner for him.
For the interview.
And
one of the great voices out there.
It's not maybe the audio you think I would pull for Eric Collins, who is the regular play-by-play man of the Charlotte Hornets, who's now doing playoff games for Prime. he called an NFL game, and I thought he was delightful on the NFL broadcast.
Yes, he was.
So he did a Panther game since he's over there in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. He'll join us. We'll talk a little ball. Not a lot of Blazer stuff with him, more just generalized NBA playoff.
And... Well, we get his thoughts on his Hornets, too. Got yes. a big win the other night. Are they actually going to go to the playoffs?
Yeah, now LaMelo's not going to get suspended. He only got fined, so... We can get his thoughts.
Coward,
coming up at
Adam Silver. You are such a coward.
I kind of agree with it. I don't want him suspended. Bam will be all right.
He took out their best player.
Bam's in Tuscany with Asia Wilson. He's
on
doing
purpose.
Okay.
He injured him on purpose.
And then at 8:30, we'll get a Spurs preview with Jason Minix, our good friend down in San Antonio, who's been covering and doing radio down in San Antonio forever. He'll join us coming up at 8:30. I want to start the second hour with. A fairly obvious observation that just needs to be talked about, and it's a little perspective, because yesterday we talked about the Blazers winning against Phoenix, Denny having the 41-12-7 game, his best game of the year, and it's the biggest game of the year for them.
Yep.
And now they've got a 7-2 matchup, San Antonio. And there's a lot of back and forth. It was great to hear from listeners after the show, because sometimes some people will get in and they give you thoughts, and some people will disagree with our thoughts on this, that, or the other. And it was something that I was just going through, and I was looking at some of the stuff that Joe Cronin has done as the general manager, because mm-hmm. we graded him earlier this year. And I know after they win and they become the seventh seed, it's a lot easier to throw it in somebody's face of, like, if the grade wasn't good enough according to them. I will acknowledge there's a lot of things I've liked that Joe's done. There's also been things that I don't agree with. But what I will say is, in this non-playoff play-in run up until this season, mm-hmm. which to me is a disappointment, in the run, in the five-year window, no matter the pick, the person, whoever it is, the three, the seven, whoever, the one thing you probably said you wanted out of it was to what? Have an all-star All-NBA level player. Was it not?
Absolutely.
Now, did you think that could be Scoot? Yes, you did. Did you think it could be Shaden? Absolutely, you did. Donovan? Maybe. But you just wanted that if you didn't have Dame Lillard anymore.
You had to find something. You got to find a guy.
And so, at a bare minimum, it's worth noting that even if the build is not how we thought it would go in terms of who is leading it,
mm-hmm.
to be able to get out of it and get back into the playoffs and say, we have an All-NBA guy, because I think he is third team. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah.
That was your goal. It may not be the player you ever thought it'd be. It may not have been the top three pick that you hoped it would be.
Yeah.
But the goal was to get an All-NBA guy. You've got one of those.
I mean, you got two ways to go about finding them. It's in the draft or via trade. We learned that again in the Jailblazer documentary. Not that it's a surprise, but you're not going to get free agents to come to Portland. And so you have two pathways to go do it. They were not able to do it through the draft, which I think most people thought in the moment when you're entering into a tanking era, how are you going to find that next guy? It's where you lose as many games as possible. You draft the guy, and that's how it turns out. And I don't know what the future holds for Scoot or Shaden, but they certainly don't look like that guy. Doesn't mean they can't be good players or have lengthy NBA careers. They don't look like the kind of guy that's going to be a centerpiece of a team. So they had to find another way to go do it. And we can have criticisms of certain moves. There's no question about, for Joe Cronin, the best move that he made was the trade for Denny Avdia. Like, it's not even a debate. It's not even like, it's just... They fleeced him. I've seen a lot of this around NBA circles in the last 2 days, some from inside Washington, some from outside Washington, of like, oh my God, how did we let this guy go? That was such a bad trade. Why were we giving possessions to, you know, Russell Westbrook or whoever it was at the time instead of allowing Denny to be the player that he was?
And, yeah, you know, Dinwiddie and Westbrook, I saw that take
were taking
too.
Dribbles and right. possessions away from Denny Avdia. Right, like, what right. were we doing? Like, we weren't going anywhere. We were a bad team anyways. And so, you know, there's a lot of questions still for me in terms of, is he truly a one that can lead you to the highest peaks in the NBA?
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see. I think we're going to get a great glimpse of that against San Antonio because it's a much more difficult opponent. They're much better defensively. They have a rim protector. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's a harder challenge than playing the Phoenix Suns, who we all knew were not a very good team, especially in the back half of the year. But there's no question that he has elevated himself. And I've had this take since last year that at a bare minimum, he's a number two on a very, very good basketball team. Mm-hmm. Can you ever go find a player better than him? That continues to be the elephant in the room. And can you pair him with somebody who is comparable to him to get over the hump? That's still a $1 million question. But there's no doubt that Denny has elevated himself as an all-star, an all-NBA guy, and a guy that can carry a basketball team for stretches of a season, because he did it this year.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, because I was listening to a lot of stuff yesterday figuring Denny would be the topic of a lot of conversation. And he was. Yep. Paul Pierce was like, I'd never heard his name. And I'm like,
dude, what?
Never heard his name.
Like, you get paid to talk about the NBA?
And he basically was like, well, you got to earn your name in this league.
Oh,
and I'm like,
shut
all
up.
Right, all right.
That's why you got canceled at Fox.
All right, P-double. And I heard, who was it? Lou, he had the two girlfriends.
Lou Williams. And Chandler Parsons, I saw that. Yeah.
And Pepperwing Schultz, you never forget.
That's right.
Lou Williams, I thought, had a really good thing of like people talking about the foul hunting and foul merchant stuff. And he's like, only elite players get those whistles. So people are mad. He's like, do you ever see a 6 point a game player get called a foul merchant? You don't.
No.
And I just, it was funny to watch a lot of the takeaways the day after he had had the 41 point performance. And if he makes third team All NBA, because I assume if he makes it, that's what it will be. It will be third team All NBA.
Probably.
If he makes it, I kept asking myself, are superstars in the NBA, like, do we define superstar the way that we define quarterbacks? Are there four of them in the NFL, and then there's the next tier? Like, so Orem wrote an article about Denny, and he calls him superstar. And I saw that, and I was like, and I started thinking. And I didn't want to text Bill, because sometimes I text Bill counter thoughts to his articles, and I think it annoys him. So I don't do that anymore. But I started thinking about it, and I was wondering, like, is Denny a Sam Darnold? Is Denny a Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
Or do we believe that Denny is a fill-in-the-blank premier quarterback? I know there's much more in the NBA than obviously there is starting quarterbacks.
Is he a Josh Allen, or is he a, yeah.
Yeah, how do you separate superstar? Like, right. If Denny makes third team this year, do we think Denny makes second team? Do we think Denny can be a first team guy? Like, I'm really curious where people are, because the ultimate goal was to get an All-NBA guy, and Joe accomplished that, to
his
credit.
Yes, he has.
I do think it's the biggest trade. I also think sneaky, you could throw in there, getting the Suns to just throw in Tumani at the end of that trade,
it's massive,
was brilliant.
But another big win for him.
You've got that. Now, I'm curious on the superstar-star delineation, and then, like, how do you guys define it? Do you think he can make second team? Do you think he takes ever a step to be one of the five best in a season? So I started really wrapping my brain around the idea, because I said I thought at best he could be a three on a title team. I think he could be a two. I'm more than willing to tell you guys I'm wrong on stuff all the time. I will not hesitate on that. But I was more wondering how people are viewing the ascension of him, and then, like, how much higher is the ceiling? Well, I know we got Spurs series to talk about, and we'll get to that. But
well, I think that's the perfect connection, because this is, and it's back to a point you brought up earlier in the week. That's why I'm excited for this series.
But is this series really going to tell us?
Not completely, no.
I think we're super outmanned in this series.
I agree with you, and I gave the take that I don't think they're going to win more than, I hope I'm wrong, I don't think they're going to win more than one game in the series, and maybe they surprise, and if they do, go ahead and text in and call me an idiot.
Yeah.
But I do think it gives you more of a blueprint in terms of what he is and how he stacks up than a play-in game against Phoenix does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, facing a team of this caliber.
This is the level now that we're talking about when you're asking questions about the best five players in the NBA. I'm not asking you to win the series. I'm not asking you to sweep them or average, you know, 30, 10, and 10 over the course of the next 6 to 7 games. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking you to look like one of the elite players on the floor. And I do think he has the capability of doing that. So I think we'll get a better picture of it out after this series, depending on how he plays. And it doesn't mean if he struggles that you throw it out and say there's no chance he can ever do it. And it doesn't mean that if he plays great, that means next year he's guaranteed to be first team All-NBA. It just gives us a better picture. And it's a position that he's never been in his career, especially now that he's ascending, to have this kind of opportunity. So I am incredibly excited to see how he plays. The tough part with taking the next step is there's undoubtedly having to be another step for him in terms of getting better. There also has to then be the follow-up question of, well, whose place is he taking in those conversations?
So there's a player I want to ask you, and I'll tell you who it is on the other side, because we're against it. We got Eric Collins at 7:30. There's a player in the league that I think is a better two-way player that I'm wondering, like, is he this level, or is he capable of being this level in terms of name recognition? And then the superstar star thing, do you guys separate that, or do you believe he is, at that definition, a superstar? How do you define those things, I think, in the NBA is always interesting to me. So we'll roll on with that coming up next. Eric Collins at the bottom of the hour, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, the Fan Sports Network. Eric Collins going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Talking about old Turbo.
We need a new nickname, though. I'm not a big fan. Step number one is coming up with a better nickname than
Turbo. I'm not a big fan of Turbo.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm gonna make my argument. That's not a great nickname.
I will never get over how when I hear the nickname, I just will always hear a sarcastic bully voice to a dweeb in a movie. Like, okay, yeah. Turbo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's my thing. That's fine. You can love Turbo as a nickname all you want. But we're talking about Denny and, like, how you separate superstar to star to third-team All-NBA. Does he take a step to second-team All-NBA? Do you ever see a world where he's a first-team All-NBA guy? Because you don't want to short him, right? Like, I did. And this year, he proved me incredibly wrong in a lot of ways. But he led them in a lot of categories. He 24 points, 6.9 rebounds, so basically 7 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And 6.7 assists, damn near 7. So almost a 24-7-7 season.
Great numbers.
I don't know how to quite put him into context other than to ask, like, at his absolute peak, are we looking at a guy who could be Jaylen Brown?
Be a great player.
Now, Jaylen Brown has accomplished far more. He's a 5-time All-Star, NBA champ, NBA Finals MVP, made the All-Rookie team, and he made All-NBA, and he's going to make All-NBA again. So he'll have a 2-time All-NBA on his resume. And what Boston did this year, it's a great environment, a great roster, but certainly nobody picked them to be the second seed in the East.
No, he carried them all season, and now Tatum's back, and we'll see what they do in the playoffs, but he was great all year.
And I think he should have real, like, top three MVP consideration.
Agree completely.
Because nobody picked Boston to be the second seed, and he's a large reason why they are. And so I don't think Denny will ever maybe be the defender Jaylen Brown is. I'm more just asking, like, the general idea of what a star is in the league. Can he be that level? Not the finals MVP stuff, just the general idea of Jaylen Brown as a player.
I also have the hard part I have with this, too, is that I think the Jaylen Brown comp is really good. He's maybe a better all-around player. Maybe you could argue.
I agree.
Denny's has a little bit of a deeper bag or a little bit better offensively. I know Jaylen technically averaged more points per game. Some of that was who was in and who was out of the lineup. So maybe that's unfair to Jaylen Brown.
His three-point percentage is a little better than Denny. But, yeah, okay. Largely they play.
And I think of the world of Jaylen Brown. Style. Like, I made the argument when they were going on the runs that he was the best player on their team. He just never got the credit because Tatum was the dookie. And, you know, he would weirdly text Kobe before every game to a number that didn't exist anymore.
Right.
I also think part of me in this moment is trying to take a deep breath and not get caught in the moment,
sure.
Right? Like, we're coming off of an incredible performance. He was awesome mm-hmm. in Phoenix, and he is, you can't say sole reason because other guys made plays like Grant and Drew and all that, but he's 94% of the reason they won that game.
Yes.
And so we're in this moment right now where we're talking about it, and we might have a different picture a week from now or 2 weeks from now. That's why I'm so excited about the San Antonio series. I think the idea of the quarterback is interesting in terms of phrasing him as a superstar. Everybody will have a different definition of what that means, and we famously had a debate years ago about Tim Duncan. The comp that I'm going to get into, though,
that I think
gives me hope. How do you feel about Tyrese Haliburton? Is he a superstar? Because that's the one that I will go back to. And I remember making the argument at the time, them going on a run to the NBA Finals last year. Now, not a great comp because Portland's not in the Eastern Conference, right? You have San Antonio in your way for another decade. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City's not going anywhere. Luka Doncic is now over here. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards has been back-to-back conference finals. Like, getting through the playoffs in the East is significantly easier than getting through the playoffs in the West.
Okay.
But that was a situation I remember having the thought when they made the finals of, one, not thinking it could happen because it's the NBA, and it historically tells us it won't happen. They got there. Then they damn near beat the Thunder. And I would argue they did it without a guy that was in this line of player that we're talking about. Haliburton is a tremendous player. He's incredibly clutch, and he had a ton of big shots. But I don't ever view him becoming a guy who's a bona fide MVP candidate or a first-team All-NBA player. He's not better than SGA. He's not better than Luka. And so that was the one that for me, when I think of Denny, I think of that, of like, you have a great player. Where does he rank in the pantheon of the NBA? I don't know, but he's all NBA and he's an all-star. Can you build a good enough roster around him that overcomes the need? Historically, the NBA would tell us that you need a number one first-team all-NBA MVP kind of candidate.
I'm going to list superstars, and I want you to tell me if I'm missing anybody.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, we argued about this, by the way. Context here matters.
It goes back to our Trout-Harper thing. It was a face of the league kind of thing of, well, like, I know the talent of Tim Duncan. Yeah. It was more about he doesn't talk and he's quiet and he's only going to Gillette commercial.
That was years ago.
Yes.
however you define it now, a decade plus later. SGA.
Yes.
Jokic.
Yep.
Steph.
Yep.
Wemby.
Yep.
Brunson.
Yep.
LeBron.
Yep.
Luka.
Yep.
Giannis.
Yep.
Ant.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell. He's going to be first team All NBA.
Yeah.
I think he's made it twice.
Has he really been two first team All NBAs?
Let me verify that. Okay. I know he's made All NBA in Utah.
He's an interesting one, but yeah, I think I'll allow it.
Yeah, he's two-time All-NBA.
Okay.
I don't know if the other time was first team, but okay. I know he made it in Utah.
He's going to be first team All-NBA this year?
I think he is.
Yeah. He averaged 20, what were his numbers? 28.
28, 4.5, and 5.7.
Yeah, that's pretty good numbers.
Okay, so Mitchell, a maybe, but maybe lean yes?
Yes.
Tatum?
I mean, yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Is Brown now?
Yes.
Okay.
Top five in the league, top four in the league in scoring? Yeah.
That's 12 players. Who am I missing?
Hmm.
By your definition of whatever it is, superstar.
You said Jokic, right?
I said Jokic.
Okay.
Yeah. I went through all the NBAs, all NBAs last year. Like, I think Halliburton.
I think then you're into like the Devin Booker, Cade Cunningham. Book. Like, then I think you're into that.
Cunningham, I think, is.
Yeah. Because he would have been all NBA.
Yeah.
Had he not gotten hurt.
And Booker is a yes by name.
I mean, Booker. We know Booker's a hell of a player.
Okay. So there's like four.
Maxie's probably in that category.
But you see what I'm saying is like Denny's going to be, that's 15 if you want to throw Maxie, Booker, and Cunningham in.
Right.
That's 15 players. Guess who's going to be all NBA this year? Potentially. Maybe
Potentially.
He won't, but if he is.
If they allowed voting
Denny
to still be open,
category.
I can't imagine after that game that he's not third team all NBA.
Well, that's what I saw a clip, and who was it? I think it was Kurt Goldsberry was like, they still have voting open.
Yeah.
Why would you do that with playing? You're absolutely going to get swayed votes.
Of course you are.
By the one game performance.
Yeah, when a guy plays at that level too on top of it.
When you look at the Spurs, because we got to go to Eric Collins, I think this is a fun game to play. And maybe it's something we can bring back at some point. Look at the Spurs and Blazers roster. If I gave you an open-ended draft with both rosters
fantasy draft,
open,
you can take whoever you
make
want.
Your own team.
Yeah, Wemby is the obvious number one pick. It's not even a debate.
Who is the second pick? Is it Castle? Or
let me look
Denny?
Up. I don't know Castle's number specifically off the top of my head.
Talk about All-NBA. That's another guy that's going to be right in the thick of that race.
Let me see. Castle this year.
And Wemby missed, you know, he bordered on the 65
So he's younger, but he's a 6'6 point guard who averaged 17 points, 7.5 assists, and over 5 rebounds a game.
And I think he's a little better defensively.
A little better defensively. Neither of them are dynamic shooters. That's more of like, are you gambling on the upside of that draft pick on what Castle can turn into?
But also, can Denny get
better? Can Denny get better? That's the big question about him.
So who's the second pick?
I think I would go Denny right now. But it would not be an easy pick because of the potential of Castle.
I think that's what a fun part of the series is. Like, people don't think we have a chance, and I don't blame them for that.
How long, though, until you get to another Blazer?
I mean, Drew Holiday, you can think it's corny and dumb. Drew Holiday wins everywhere he goes.
He does.
He's if you're just talking about a season.
There's a different debate there. Is it for a season or is it for building a franchise? Because you're not taking Drew Holiday over their young guys.
It's a fun conversation. Superstar, star, Denny Avdia, definitely the topic of conversation as the Blazers get into the playoffs. We'll have a little bit more on this with Jason Minnix at 8:30. Coming up next, Eric Collins, Hornets play-by-play, calling NBA games, NBA playoff games, I should say, joining us on 105.1 The Fan.
Hand off on second down. Look at this! Aldo still on his feet! What an afternoon for Rico Dowdle!
Welcome back in. One of my favorites in all of sports, and it was nice to have some crossover in my life because I only hear this guy when I'm watching NBA League Pass all the way out here in Portland, Oregon, USA. Eric Collins, you know him as the Hornet play-by-play man, also going to be calling playoff games, and you heard him on the NFL broadcast for a Panther game, which was fantastic. He's joining us now here on 105.1 The Fan. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for hopping on with us. We appreciate it. We know your schedule's super busy. Your first thoughts of calling an NFL game on Fox and just how exciting that was to have like a little bit of a different rhythm from NBA to NFL.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'd do anything for you folks out in Portland. For some reason, I don't know why, but it just fits my eye. Whenever people ask me, hey, where's your favorite NBA place to go to, NBA City? I knee-jerk always say, Portland. I don't know what it is. It's the food, it's the beer. I don't know what it is. Even the weather. I'm totally down for it all. So anyway, shout out to Portland. But that was great. That was kind of a dream come true. I've been waiting to do – I did NFL Europe, which is a thing like back 25 years ago when I was super, 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 super young. I got a chance at Fox to do NFL Europe, and they loved me so much, they waited 24 more years to put me in the rotation. So I had a whole bunch of pent-up energy, kind of good to go. So when I got out there, I just figured, you know what? If they're going to hire me once every 25 years, I'm going to give it my best every single play.
I mean, you did. There's a bunch I want to ask you about in terms of calling in NBA playoff games and all that, because I'm sure that's exciting and on the horizon. But I do want to ask about Charlotte. Like, we watched a game the other night, and just what that city is going through. Like, they have not had a lot of success in however many years, maybe my entire life, since Larry Johnson was there. So it's been a minute. And now here you are with an opportunity to go into the play. Like, just how has that captivated the city? And what's the excitement level like going into this last play-in game?
I actually think that I think Charlotte's a lot like Portland and the Trailblazer fan base. Like, there was a time, you know, obviously Portland had that crazy streak of consecutive sellouts. The Hornets in the 90s, were like the ticket.
Yeah.
For 9 out of 10 years during the 90s, you know, they played in an old 24,000 seat barn. And for 9 out of 10 years in the 90s, they led the league in attendance, even more than Michael Jordan and the Bulls at the United Center. And the only time they didn't is because the Minnesota Timberwolves, their first year, they played inside the Metrodome, which seated 53,000, and they would give out $1 tickets. So the Hornets, this is a place where they love basketball and they understand basketball. But when the Hornets left back in the early 2000s, it just really ripped the heart out. And so it's taken a minute to kind of for people to fall back in love with the Hornets, partly because they're called the Bobcats for a while and the colors are goofy. But they finally got a team to kind of rally around, and these guys play well together and they love each other and they smile. And the style of basketball fits the eye of most fans. You know, it's fast, it's quick. Actually, believe it or not, the Hornets were really close to one of the slowest teams in the league, but it's not because of the pace of play. It's because they just choose to throw like 3 extra passes every possession just because it's a group of great passers who are waiting for that next great, great, great shot. Yeah. So it's so much fun to be around, and it's a joyous team, and Con Knipple has changed everything. Really, he's the only difference this year. And he's changed the culture and everything.
Yeah, this is Eric Collins. He's the play-by-play guy normally of the Hornets. He's going to get on the NBA, and he's going to be switched to the Toronto and Cleveland series. So that's pretty exciting. Yep. I have a Cleveland ticket on a futures to win the East. I'll probably regret that, watching James Harden in a pivotal Game 7. But I'm excited to hear you on the call of that one. I'm curious if you'd like the opportunity, and we love that we have you on. We won't be able to hear our guys, Kevin Calabro and Lamar Hurd, as we normally do in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And I saw the Mike Breen cut the other day where he was basically like, it sucks. We understand. We love our partners. But the local broadcast thing in the NBA for the first round's always been a thing. A little bizarre to not have playing Eric Collins, seeing Del Curry in the crowd, how you kind of felt watching that from like a different vantage point than what you normally do.
Yeah. Well, Dell and I actually, we work for Amazon. So theoretically, we could have been assigned to that game. But I get it. You know, if I'm a Miami Heat fan and all of a sudden it's the two Hornets announcers calling the game, it would sound a little bit goofy. So I totally get it. But it's crazy how the NFL or the NBA has changed. When I was younger, back in the 90s, I had a job as a sideline reporter for the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan and those guys. And so I traveled the world with that team. And back then in the 90s, we were doing local broadcasts all the way through, like, the second game of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wow.
So, obviously, the money has changed for everyone. You know, the teams have gotten rich off it. The players have gotten more money out of it. And so everyone's kind of benefiting from it. But I do believe that it is, I wouldn't say a mistake, I do think it's disappointing, the fact that local teams who have followed, you know, first of all, Kevin is unbelievable. Kevin is top, 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 top shelf. And Lamar's fantastic. It's a great tandem you guys got out there. And the fact that I think, you know, they know so much about the team. They understand the trends. They understand the history of what happened in Game 57 and why it matters in a play-in game.
Yeah.
You know, there are actually things that you can follow closely enough that makes a difference. And that's what local guys can give you, and women. I do think it's a disappointment that it's not happening. But it's the reality. There's so much money being thrown around. And I think the word exclusive means something to people. And that's why it's done.
Yeah. What are you curious about from the first round series that you're going to be calling? Like, what are the storylines that get you going? And then as you look at the playoffs as a whole, just like, where's your excitement level at? And, you know, we were just having a conversation about how much, you know, a different champion for 7 straight years has benefited the NBA to give him some hope out there. Do you have that hope around the league, or does this feel like another coronation of Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City is really good, man. But, well, you guys have something to say with it, but San Antonio's really good too, man. There's some teams that are really nice. And at this time last year, who knew that Indiana was going to go on their magic carpet ride, you know? So it's, you just never know. I've got game one and game three of Toronto and Cleveland. First game is going to be Saturday afternoon in Cleveland. And I'm super excited to see Cleveland. You know, four or five matchups are always good, you know, because it's two evenly matched teams. But Cleveland, they've got the highest payroll in the NBA. You know, they've got Donovan Mitchell, who has never been able to get out of the second round, who has got a team that's stacked around him. You know, there's a ton of expectations in Cleveland. They didn't get off to a great start. Obviously, they finished better. But it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with the talent that they have. Because if they don't go far, if they have a flame out, that could have ripple effects all the way across the NBA with potentially, you know, guys being available, just because clearly it won't be working out in Cleveland. I definitely think the West is going to be so much fun, you know, just because Oklahoma City's great, man.
Yeah.
Way they started the season, they are just, like, they don't do anything wrong. They play hard. They play for each other. A young San Antonio, can they make a run in their first kind of year together as just kind of young team figuring it out? I think there's so many fun storylines. I think you guys, man, why not? You know, you got Drew Holiday, you got a chance. That guy's got the best aura maybe in the history of the NBA. If he doesn't win the teammate of the year, he wins citizen of the year.
He does.
That guy is just human gold right there. So you got definitely that in your back pocket.
We're talking with Eric Collins, getting ready to call the Toronto and Cleveland series on Amazon, and does the play-by-play for the Hornets. You may know him if you haven't watched League Pass from all of the amazing calls he has during Hornets games, the heartbreak and the celebration and joy. I'm curious to ask you a kind of a two-parter. You had a clip, so you're in my algorithm along with when I watch you on League Pass, because literally I don't really care about the Hornets that much. This year they're a lot more fun. You make them interesting. I would argue you've helped the brand and the organization resonate, I think, with the city and fans in Carolina more by the way you call the games. You had a random call during a three where you just said potato salad, and so what the backstory of that, and then to follow that up, it ended up getting clipped, and I don't know if you're aware, there's two white cats from Australia that always dub over you and do like facial reactions called Shepmates on Instagram, and I'm curious if you've seen any of the videos, because their facial reactions to your voice is pretty, it's comedic gold to me.
They've done a great job. I have seen it. It's been forwarded to me. There's a couple of football clips that they've done, which are fun. Those guys are really, really talented. And it's actually, it's chicken salad.
Chicken salad, thank you.
And the whole point is basically, I shouldn't kind of take you behind the curtain, but I will. It's, you know, to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. That's kind of the point of it all.
Yes.
So when possessions are not going well, when you've kind of just abused the first 22 seconds of the shot clock, and you're still out at half court, and you fire something up and in,
yes,
that would be chicken salad.
Yes.
Got
so over
it.
Over the years, it's kind of been embellished. I'll say, chicken salad! And Dell understands where the shtick is going. He'll say, with cranberry! with sliced apples! So we're kind of augmenting the chicken salad over the years.
There we go.
That's fantastic.
I love it. Okay, when you look at Toronto, Cleveland, you've gotten to watch them throughout the season. I picked Cleveland. I like the way they looked with Harden in the beginning. I know people got James Harden takes out there. When you view it just from a 1,000-foot view, how do you see Cleveland, who is the four seed? Toronto's kind of one of the surprise stories of the league.
You know what? From just rolling up my sleeves, I've been looking at the times that Cleveland loses. And Cleveland loses when they just get barraged with teams who can really snipe it from outside. That's one of the reasons why they lost last year against the Pacers. The Pacers played so fast and just were hitting shots from behind the arc. Toronto doesn't play that style. They're a slower team. They're kind of a two-point heavy team. I really like their talent. I think that Brandon Ingram could have a coming-out party this postseason. I think he's fantastic. Scotty Barnes really controls the game. But I just don't think that their style of play is conducive to scoring the 125, 130 points you need to beat Cleveland. Because I think Cleveland's offense is pretty good. And they're going to get their points relatively, and I think it's easier for them to score their points with the weapons that they have, with Harden and Mitchell controlling the game, and then the consistent lob threat of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. I just think it's pretty much automatic that they're going to get their 120 points. And so Toronto's need is going to get more than that. And I just don't know if there's enough time in the game or enough possessions for them to go two by two by two and win the game. So I got Cleveland in this.
All right, excited for it. I do want to let you give us a tie-in. You said you love visiting Portland. It's one of your favorite cities. I also know that one of your heroes growing up, Ed Whalen, from out here, the big daddy of sports from Portland sports media fame was one of your heroes growing up?
You know what? I got to give a shout out. He was Waylon Boot when I knew him. And actually, I never knew him. I just knew him because he came on my television every night at 11:20. I didn't go on dates in high school because that he meant so much to me. He was doing local news in Cleveland, and he was doing things so differently than everyone else.
Yeah.
He was bodacious before bodacious was a thing. Mm. And he was saying just outlandish things on the air. Like last night, the Julio Franco was hotter than a tailpipe. Or the Browns looked worse than angel mustard on angel food cake. Or the Cavaliers were, you know, whatever, looked worse than a fat man in a tight suit. And it just blew me away that you could talk like that on television.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be that. And to the point where I actually was that guy for my high school senior yearbook at Cleveland Heights High School, the same high school that Travis Kelce went to. You cannot find my picture there because I'm not listed as Eric Collins. I surreptitiously put my name in as Waylon Boot. So if you want to find my picture in my high school senior yearbook, you have to look under Waylon Boot because I was so mesmerized by him. And he is still, to this day, when I'm doing a broadcast, I'm channeling my inner Waylon Boot from the late 80s back in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, I think if he's heard you, he's really proud of what you become. You're doing a great job, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us this morning and enjoy the series with Toronto and Cleveland. And we look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Hey, keep one of those Portland IPAs cold for me next time I'm out there, okay?
We got you, my man.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Eric Collins. He'll be on the Amazon series of Toronto and Cleveland. Chicken ass into chicken salad, huh? How about that?
I mean, that came out of nowhere. I probably should have connected the dots on that call. Now it makes sense the way that he explains it. But when you get a random food thrown out at the end of a highlight, you're not quite sure exactly where it's coming from. And, you know, getting somebody to say that during an interview doesn't happen often, but it's kind of funny.
Especially
when it does.
Somebody that does live television. I know. Normally you don't get those people.
What happens if he cusses on Amazon Prime?
It's Prime. It's streaming.
Like, it doesn't matter, right? There's nothing you don't need to dump. You don't need to worry about it. You just let it flow.
What if he just dropped a holy S? Like, that's his call of a game. And holy S!
I think the NBA would have a problem with it.
I think the NBA would be mad.
Adam Silverwood, they get their panties in a bunch, even though it would be a great call.
It'd be a great call.
That's what are we all yelling in our living room when you get a big shot and a big holy? Like, we're all yelling the same thing.
Right. Good stuff there from Eric Collins, one of our favorites, one of the best, I think, in the association. All right, we have a lot more to get into. Coming up at 8:30, we'll get the Spurs perspective from Jason Minix down in San Antonio. We got a Magic Hat Thursday. Got some audio in the Magic Hat today, so we'll get to that in the final hour. Dirt and Sprague, 7:49 on 105.1 The Fan.
Talking about great play-by-play guys, Dan Orsillo is one of the best for the Padres. He's awesome.
There's Padres TV. The Padres walk it off. I went to bed. The Mariners were up 6-0, and I woke up, and they lost 7-6.
That's a tough one. I mean, they've been playing better baseball as of late, but when you have a 6-0 lead, you want to finish it off. Padres having a nice little start to their year. Maybe they can make some noise in the NL West.
Who's stinking it up? The Mariners blowing a 6-run lead, brought to you by Three Mountains Home Services. Now through the end of April, at Three Mountains Home Services, install a tankless water heater, and they'll include a free water softener. Enjoy warmer showers and say goodbye to hard water. Call or visit ThreeMountainsHomeServices.com. Schedule your appointment today.
What's up, everybody? Sprague here. Have you been enduring the pains of running out of hot water or water in your home? My friends at Three Mountains Home Services are here to make life easy. For a limited time, when you install a high-efficiency tankless water heater, they'll give you a free water softener. That means warmer showers and not having to put up with the pesky disadvantages of hard water. Call Three Mountains Home Services today and receive a free water softener when you install a tankless water heater. Google Three Mountains Home Services or schedule online at ThreeMountainsHomeServices.com. CCB number 169499.
The most fun day of golf is back. Toyota presents the 12th annual Fan Golf Classic. Join us Tuesday, June 23rd at Langdon Farms Golf Club.
We have the best listeners in radio.
Foursomes are on sale now with morning and afternoon flights. Get your group in soon because spots fill up fast. Head over to 1051thefan.com and sign up. Toyota presents the 12th annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Penalties and interest are piling up every single day. Wage garnishments and bank levies could hit any moment. If you've been avoiding it out of fear, you're not alone. But waiting only shrinks your options and ramps up the stress. The truth is, the IRS settles with taxpayers every day through legitimate programs, and many qualify to reduce what they owe, in some cases by up to 99%. That's why thousands turn to HelpWithIRSDebt.com. They've guided over 120,000 Americans, resolved more than $2.3 billion in tax debt, and back every case with their ironclad resolution guarantee. If there's no real path forward, you get a full refund. No fine print. They even randomly select one qualifying client each year and pay off their entire IRS balance. Terms apply. Don't let another day pass. Go to helpwithirsdebt.com right now. It's fast, easy, and confidential. Find out what's possible today. Helpwithirsdebt.com. Once again, that's helpwithirsdebt.com.
At Liberty Mutual, we love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune. Liberty Mutual, saving you bucks while protecting your truck. Cause Birdie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. I'll always trust a Limu with Liberty, 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 Liberty.
This is Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
A loaded third hour of the radio program. We will hear from the backup quarterback at Oregon. He's no ordinary backup quarterback, though.
Got to have a good insurance policy, man.
Yeah, you do.
Mini Mahomes, that's what everybody calls him.
You are going to twist yourself in a knot if he has to come in this year.
Look, my morals go out the window when it comes to winning and losing.
Everybody's
doing. If you win me some football games, I don't care how douchey you are. It doesn't defend some of the antics. If you lose, I'm going to go harder on you in the paint. But if you win, man, I'll look past just about anything outside of criminal activity.
Have you gotten an update, or have we gotten an update on the Oregon State player? Did you see that?
I have not.
I mean, that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was a horrific story. We had an awkward ending to our show 2 days ago because we were unaware that something was happening, but it was going on behind the scenes that they were looking for a time to postpone the game.
I
have not seen an update. I mean, just a tragic story, and you can't imagine how it's going to impact a locker room and what those guys are going through, having to see their teammate go through something like that, and their minds, I'm sure, are all on that and not really on baseball right now. Just think about his family and pray for him. But other than that, I have not seen an update. You're just crossing your fingers that he makes it out the other side.
Yeah, Tyler Bellerose is a freshman pitcher. He hasn't played yet for Oregon State,
no.
But he was involved in a car accident, and they had to postpone the Oregon-Oregon State game out of Hillsboro Stadium. If you have tickets to that game, I'm sure most of you know this already, they're still good for when they decide to reschedule that. So, yeah,
they'll find another middle of the weekday that you can play it down the road, and maybe the weather ends up
being
better.
Maybe the weather will be better than what it was that day because it was not good weather. But, yeah, really scary news out of Corvallis as a pitcher is in serious medical condition. I've seen internet theory stuff, but I'm not going to go on the air with it. I've just seen what they put out, and that's he was injured in a car accident, serious medical condition. That is all we know, and I hadn't seen a follow-up yesterday, but I also don't know if I missed maybe an announcement of some sort.
I have not seen it. You just cross your fingers and hope whatever the news update
terrible.
You get. I mean, we had this when we found out about Swag's dad a little over a week ago, and you're just crossing your fingers hoping the outcome's going to be okay, and it sounds like it will be in the long term. Still a ton of road to recovery. There's no doubt about that, but hoping that has the same outcome down in Corvallis.
All right, we have a lot to get to in the third. We apologize. We're not on YouTube right now. We're going through YouTube woes right now, so we'll try to get that back up and running. But you can still catch us on 105.1, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you got to catch the show a little bit late, we'll work on the YouTube. Loaded third hour. Jason Menix will join us at 8:30. He's down in San Antonio. He's one of our old friends in the industry. Been doing radio in San Antonio for a long time. We used to have him on regularly when we were a playoff team playing the Spurs. And so Jason Menix will join us at 8:30. We'll hear from Dylan Raiola as well. The backup quarterback spoke at Oregon during spring football. It is a low third hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, Portland Sports Leader.